Regular Joe here with great news. MyPillow's biggest bed sheet sale ever continues. Right now, you can get MyPillow's breathable, cool, crisp feeling to the touch per count sheets at the lowest price ever with promo code REGULARJOE. You could get them for as low as $29.99. With promo code REGULARJOE, they've got a size that fits every bed and a great selection of colors. So order now while supplies last. Percal sheets have the deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to want to go to MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE and put in promo code REGULARJOE to get the lowest price ever, not only on their Percal sheets, but also on the Giza Dream Sheets as well. Two great options. This sale won't go on forever, so order now while you can still get them in your favorite colors in stock. Remember, use promo code REGULARJOE at MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape, we're the superpowers, not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone, made in the USA. This is the Regular Joe Show.
Oh, so good.
Well, hello and welcome, hour number three of the Regular Joe Show. It is an open line Friday. You get to pick the topic. I will set the tone and the tempo when you dial 888-737-1737. 888-737-1737. That's how you do it. We do have a question of the day. We played some sound from a Pfizer executive in charge of research and development for the mRNA scheduling, who admitted, look, baby, this is a cash cow. So we're trying to mutate the COVID virus just so we can be prepared with even more jabs. But don't worry, the government's got our back because we hire a bunch of them for really high-paying salaries. So they'll basically approve anything we want. My question of the day, what should be done to Pfizer? I've got some text messages, some emails I will share on the topics, plus your calls. But first, let me just tell you, it is 7 minutes past the hour, which means right now, in Hong Kong, it is 12:07 a.m. In the City of Angels, on the left coast, it is 8:07 a.m. In Qatar, 7:07 p.m. And of course, down in Wilmington, Delaware, where it's dangerous to take a shower, if you're related to Joe Biden, it's 11:07 a.m. That is your new and improved Biden Crime Family Time Check, brought to you, as it always, this is the top of each and every hour, to make sure one can keep top of mind the depth of depravity, the scum and villainy that is the Biden crime family. Well, hello and welcome. How did we get to hour number three already? Here on this Friday, good to have you here. Thank you for joining me, as always. You're invited to be a part of the conversation. 888-737-1737. I'm going to get back to Patrick here in just a moment as he was holding. But just want to highlight quickly, with Joe Biden, who's out bragging about how well he's done with the economy yesterday, while that was going on, they were having a Senate hearing with some of the people that Joe Biden and company think should be on our judiciary, should be sitting on a bench as a judge. This exchange you're going to hear between Senator John Kennedy in Louisiana and Washington Circuit Court nominee Charnel Bijengren is her name. This is enlightening. Cut 15.
Judge, on the far end, tell me what Article 5 of the Constitution does.
Article 5 is not coming to mind at the moment.
Okay. How about Article 2?
Neither is Article 2.
Okay. Do you know what purposivism is?
In my 12 years as an assistant attorney general, huh? And my 9 years serving as a judge, I was not faced with that precise question.
So what exactly do you know? It reminds me of the Office Space when the consultants come in and say, what exactly do you do here? Now, look, I don't expect that everyone has the entire Constitution memorized, but if you're a judge wanting to be on the circuit court, shouldn't you know the basic portions of it? Article 2, by the way, establishes the executive branch of the United States. And then Article 5 is how we amend the Constitution of the United States. These are kind of, I would think, bare-bone things that if you're going to sit on a court, you might want to know. But apparently it's never come up in all of her legal studies and travels. No. I mean, executive, which then we wonder sometimes how people come up with some, you know, these judges, they make these decisions. Like, how do they do it? Well, I don't know. Maybe if they read the Constitution just once, twice, I mean, on a regular basis. We had a Supreme Court nominee for the state of Wisconsin in our studios, and we were talking about the Constitution. He literally reached into his pocket and pulled out of his pocket. He had a pocket Constitution. That's a good sign, right? You want them to know what's there. We have Patrick waiting on the line. Patrick, I apologize. We were right up against the break, and I wanted to try to get your call in there, but you had a question, and I wanted to make sure we got to you first thing in this segment. What do you got for me?
Yeah, going back to your last discussion, we have a party that doesn't even know what a woman is.
Well, yes. I mean, they can't identify a woman unless it's politically advantageous. Then suddenly, because remember, they don't know what a woman is, but they do want to defend a woman's right to choose.
Very true. Yeah. Hey, the question I have is, who are the other members, or is there any way to look up the other members that are voting for RNC chairman that maybe we can do some lobbying of our own?
Sure. Well, the rules, good question, by the way, great question. So the way the vote goes, in every state, there's three people every state and territory, to be completely precise, the party chair, and then one of the committee men and one of the committee women or woman are chosen to represent that state to cast their ballots for chair, which comes to a total vote of 168 votes, of which they need 85. You know, someone needs to get to 85 to win. So your party chair would be the first person. Now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're all in Washington to do this. I don't know if I don't think they're doing it remotely, but either way, so you can call your party chair headquarters. You can ask, obviously, you can try to leave a message or call the secretary if you can't get to the actual chairman. But the chairman would be the first one. They may or may not, I don't know, a lot of times they won't tell you which committee man and which committee woman has been chosen, but I mean, it should be public knowledge in terms of who's casting the vote. So that'd be the next part. But then the other thing is, I would call your elected officials, because I can promise you, if you've got a Republican senator or Republican congressman sitting in the U.S. Congress, they know these three people that have been tapped to vote. They have access to these three people, and they are susceptible to that pressure as well. So you call your U.S. senator's office. I mean, you're in Wisconsin, so you know you could certainly call Ron Johnson's office. There's, what, five Republican congressmen now in the state of Wisconsin. So if you're represented by one of them, you could call them as well. I mean, technically, you call the state-level people as well, like the leadership within your state legislature. Probably not going to carry as much weight, as much punch. But I would start with the party chair's office, certainly try to find out who the other people are, you know, and if they're public figures that you could get in contact with, I would contact them. I mean, the vote's going to happen this afternoon, so people would have to act quickly. And then again, call your elected officials and let them know. And, for that matter, you could call the RNC itself in Washington, D.C. to let people know what you're feeling. Now, that's not going to have as direct of an impact, but I've told people this before, especially in Washington, D.C., five calls on the same topic in a day can set the place ablaze because they don't know how to handle that, because they're just not used to that focused, input from constituents, particularly if they call in with knowledge. Say, look, I want this person or this topic or, vote this way. I mean, it's great when you get tens and twenties and hundreds of people calling and texting and emails. But, I mean, just a half dozen to a dozen will set them spinning. Because they're just not used to it. Usually they get calls, can we get a U.S. flag? How do we get a tour? Those kind of things. So when people are actually calling on the substance and it's all the same topic, I promise you, they whether they act like it or not when you call, they stand up and take notice. So that's the other reason I think that, because that will matriculate to the elected official, and you know, then they have the opportunity to call and try to, you know, they could call the party chair who they, again, using your example in Wisconsin, I can tell you right now, if Brian Schimming's phone rings and it's any of the five congressmen or Ron Johnson calling, he's taking the phone call. So that's the other reason why going through them is effective, because they have access.
Good enough. Thank you, Joe.
My pleasure, Patrick. Have a great weekend. It's a great question, by the way. So I appreciate you calling and giving it to us. And all the, in terms of contact information, just all you do is go online, search for your party, you know, whatever state you're in, right? Oklahoma Republican Party, New Mexico Republican Party, Wisconsin Republican Party, Texas Republican Party, whatever it is, and you can find the contact information that way. And certainly the same thing for your members of Congress. Just go to house.gov and senate.gov. You can get all the contact information there as well. All right, so we have a wonderful tradition here. Gentleman that we love to refer to, well, by name, Tim from Lublin, joins us right now. Hello, Tim. How are you today?
I'm doing not too bad. I'm surviving this another snowy weather and what's going to probably be a very cold week, but always warms my heart to get through and share a song and maybe a laugh with you and your audience.
Well, that's what you always bring us, the song of the week. What is our topic this week?
Our topic this week is a woman who I think should still be in the news, but unfortunately has been pushed out of it because of the news cycle and everything going on. And the topic is Ms. Carrie Lake of Arizona and all the good work she's doing down there, how it's affecting that state and how it's helping us nationally.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, by the way. And look, even though she's not getting the top billing, she continues to fight and fight effectively, which I really appreciate. So hit us with your song of the week, sir.
You don't have to be a wise man to see the world has gone wrong. But rising in Arizona, baby, is a woman that's strong. Oh, yeah, she likes a legacy media, 'cause she knew it was fake. She's fighting against election fraud, and her name is Carrie Lake. Oh, yeah, you don't have to be rich to like this girl. Carrie Lake is real cool, trying to change the world. The left lies about Carrie and gives her a diss. Lake points to her butt and says to kiss this.
I like that. That was a very strong end to the song of the week, Tim. I appreciate it as always. Stay warm. Enjoy the snow. You know what the best part of the snow, besides it melting, is it just helps you to appreciate summer that much more.
And it certainly does.
Well, I appreciate it, sir. You have a great weekend. I appreciate the wonderful contribution as well. Who knows? Maybe we'll see if we can get that out to Carrie Lake. Give her a little bit of pep in her step as she continues the fight. We'll be back with more of your calls. And you, look, just so you know, Biden completely in control of all of his faculties. We'll prove it once again in just a moment.
This.